Welcome to Beer and Business. You found the best podcast for entrepreneurs. We serve crafty business knowledge, comedy, and yes, beer. And now it's time for our hosts. If he were to pat you on the back, you'd list it on your resume. It's Jake Mullins. And his beer never gets warm. It just sits there, staying frosty, waiting for him. Mr. John Winnie. And if you spell his name in Scrabble, you automatically win. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Darren Flanagan.
Folks, welcome back to Beer and Business. Today is Wednesday, January 15th. This is Jake.
And this is Darren.
And today on the show, please put your foil hat in its full upright and locked position, because we are talking about artificial intelligence today.
Oh, man. Here we go.
I'm excited. We've got Pat McKee in the studio with us. And Pat is a very accomplished lawyer, a litigation lawyer, and he has written a book about artificial intelligence. It's a novel. So, Pat, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, guys.
We're really happy to have you. This is actually going to be a really fun conversation. But before we do that,
yes,
we are introducing you to Jailhouse Brewing for the first time today.
Indeed.
So you like beer.
I like beer.
That's good. So he's one of us, Darren. We are drinking Jailhouse Brewing Rebel IPA. So this is a single IPA, and it's got hints of melon, mango, strawberry, and candy, but they're all really subtle. So it's not one of those kind of over-the-top sweet ones. So let's give this a try. I'd love to hear your thoughts, Pat, since you haven't had Jailhouse before. I've been waiting for this all day.
Wow. That is good.
It's
that
delicious,
really, yeah, excellent. Like that IPA.
Those sweet elements are just real subtle, just enough to let you know it's not an off-the-shelf IPA.
Yeah, well, you're real excited because last week you only got about wee much.
I know. We were down to one of these last week, and so the other guys drank it and didn't give me enough.
Oh, man.
Very sad.
That's terrible. I mean, I'd feel cheated. This is great. I'm going to drink the whole thing.
They hurt my feeling because I have one. So, Pat, you've written a novel. It comes out. When does your book come out?
Comes out March 31st.
March 31st. So we're going to be looking out for that, and we'll let our audience know when it's out. So if they're interested, they know to go pick it up.
And it's fiction.
It's a fiction book.
It's your first fiction novel you've written.
That's correct.
So tell us a little bit about the book, what it's called, and what the plot is. At a high level, don't give us too much because we want to read it. But
Got it. I'll be quick. This is the elevator pitch.
Okay.
So the name of the book is Ariel's Island, and you'll note how clever that is because the initials are AI. Okay.
Even I can figure that one out.
You got it right. So I'm a lawyer. So this is a legal thriller. And
ooh.
Yeah, right. And the basic plot is a young lawyer gets framed for the murder of a judge, and he enlists an artificial intelligence program to help clear his name. Things go pretty well at first, but then things get difficult.
Oh,
there's a hook.
Yeah.
There's the hook.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
it gets difficult. And I'm not going to tell you anymore. Now you got to read it.
That's,
oh, I'm totally
it. Boy. That's it.
Yeah. If we talk to people about their fiction books, we want them to give us a lot of information. But I don't want you to give us any more than that because I'm really looking forward to reading this book. So,
good.
Folks, we'll remind you when his book comes out. We'll give a link to it. And, you know, I'm actually looking forward to reading. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Great. Thanks, guys.
So, We wanted to you've obviously done a lot of research on AI, and we've talked a little bit in kind of the planning sessions for this episode. But I want to before we go too far, I want to take a minute to define what artificial intelligence is, because most people are not computer nerds.
People thinking I'm smart.
No, not
that's
you, Darren.
Artificial intelligence.
Right, yeah.
That's an artificial assumption if they're talking to you, Darren.
Okay.
No, but I wanted to take a minute to talk about what artificial intelligence is, because I think it's going to give us a lot of, context to this conversation that we have.
Sure.
But in computer science terms, it's the development of computer systems that are able to perform tasks that normally require human intelligence. So those are things such as visual perception, speech recognition, decision making, and language translation.
Right.
So that is kind of the broad definition of artificial intelligence. I think a lot of people think about AI as like this, you know, computer that's thinking on its own, that's doing these things, and eventually maybe the technology will get there. But this is not something that is new or just exploded. This is technology that's been evolving for years.
Right. Yeah.
But it's gotten really advanced in some areas. And so we really wanted to unpack what that is, how it's impacting, you know, large and small business and, you know, in good and bad ways. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun talking through this today.
Right.
And Pat's probably going to scare us from a legal perspective.
I'm going to try not to scare you. I'm just going to try to forewarn you. How's that?
That sounds good. So Pat, how did you get interested in AI as a subject? What got you started in it?
Sure. So AI really is impacting the legal profession.
And really?
Yes. Yes. And it's a study by the Brookings Institute said that AI is really going to impact high-level thinking in professional areas, as opposed to what you normally think of as AI is going to take, you know, rote production jobs and stuff like that. That's robotics. Okay.
Right.
Robotics is different from AI, and AI is going to, in probably in the next decade, supplant a lot of the decision making that professionals like lawyers, doctors, engineers, scientists make.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, the knowledge worker has never really feared technology as being a replacement for them. But, you know, the bank teller, the customer service agent, like all these other jobs have been, you know, supplanted and altered in some ways. And, you know, a lot of times people think that the jobs go away, but in many cases, they just evolve. They become different.
Right.
But I never thought about professionals getting replaced by.
You're as a lawyer. I mean, all the clerks that you have, and you tell them you're working on a case and you go, okay, I need you to go back and I need you to pull all these cases. And then it's an interpretation of the law. So with AI, that's got a really.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you. I mean, it's scary to me as a lawyer that I could get supplanted by an AI program. But one of the things I explore very early in the book is the AI program writing a brief with this lawyer that's the protagonist. And that's probably one of the first thing that's going to come, because there are programs that deal with language recognition, research programs. The law was one of the earliest areas of knowledge that was broadly indexed by computers.
Mm-hmm. That is really fascinating. I had no idea. Yeah. So that kind of got you into it.
Right.
So as you started to study AI, I assume, like us, you got sucked deep into the rabbit hole.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Which is why we need our foil hats.
Can you imagine
today?
Reading? Yeah, I mean, you're dictating to the thing, because now with all the speech recognition on your laptop or your computer, you know, and you're dictating into it and you're dictating your brief, I guess is a term that you guys use, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you look and you go, that's not exactly what I said. And your program goes, no, but this is how I interpret it. And
that's exactly where this is going.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Whew.
I just got sick in my belly.
Be good for parenting though. Can I use AI for parenting? You handle this.
You'd probably do a better job at me. They probably wouldn't yell as much. You know, so that'd be good.
but you mentioned that we think of this as far off. It's happening right now. There's Siri and Alexa and all of these smart machines that we have allowed in our homes that are nothing but AI.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the reasons why I wanted to start the conversation with defining artificial intelligence is because it's been around for a long time. I mean, really, since computers became, I guess, mainstream adopted, not even the personal computer in everybody's house, but ever since computers were, you know, recognized as a business tool, they've been used to try to automate business, to try to take over things that were done by people in areas that they could. Like, you know, a computer can do math faster than you all day, any day, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things too. So, like I think about, you know, back in the 90s, you know, probably one of my first experiences with artificial intelligence is when I called into my phone company and they said, if you'd like to pay your bill, press 1. And I did. And then it started asking me other questions and the machine took my payment.
Right.
And I was like, holy cow, I didn't even talk to somebody and I paid my bill.
And now that's getting so much more advanced.
Sure.
And these, what people call chat bots and things like that, and voice recognition. Mm-hmm. The problem for a guy like me, I've got a bit of a Southern accent. And when I call up these daggum you know, banking institutions, I have to repeat myself 10 times before they understand what the heck I'm saying.
Yeah. I know, like, one of the investment companies I use for some investments, they always tell you, just speaking, that becomes your password. I don't want to say it specifically like that. Somebody be like, hey, here's how you get in. But, you know, it's that voice recognition. And that's like, boom, that's you.
Right.
So it's got to be scary, though. I mean, in the medical profession as well. And I mean, it'd be like, check your symptoms, or you'd talk and say, oh, this is how I'm feeling. This is how I'm feeling. And based on what you're telling it, it's like, okay, well, here's what you need. And your prescription is now down at CVS and you're all set. And the doctor is out of it.
Right. That's happening. Is it? That's happening.
Wow.
That's happening. And yeah, there is the combination between that and robotics. There is this machine called the Da Vinci machine. Have you heard about it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sure have.
It operates on people.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yep.
That scares me a lot.
Yeah. Especially where the Da Vinci machine goes, by the way.
Yes. Well, now, yes, I do know what you're talking about.
I know some doctors who do use the Da Vinci device, but they are still controlling the arms. It's just, it is much more efficient for where they have to be and to get to certain places. It's much more, you can manipulate the arms a lot more to get to a specific spot instead of having to grab hold of an organ and move it out of the way or try to get your hand where it needs to be. So, but doing a complete procedure and just like, just press go.
Right. Welcome.
What just happened?
Well, you were going to get into this whole AI thing and dissect several pieces of it and how it can impact your business, both good and bad. Mm-hmm. But I think kind of starting out, there's two things that really scare me about AI in I'd say the near future. And the first one is over-dependence on the machines, you know, because I've seen, as all of you listening have probably seen, like this natural language processing, which is all the technology that goes into understanding what you say, Siri, Alexa, when you call into your wireless company or whatever, and it asks you to talk to them, that stuff has gotten really good, but it's not perfect. And I've gotten into situations like with customer service companies where it's like, you know, what would you like to do? I'd like to pay my bill. Posting bail. No, I don't need that.
Not
I don't need
today.
That. But it's funny.
For you, that is code.
Yeah.
I want to pay my bill is code for post my bail.
They know me, don't they? No, but it's like I've gotten into situations where I went down a path and then the machine couldn't figure it out and I get stuck in this loop and I got to hang up and call back in. And I'm afraid that companies are going to rush into this over-dependence on technology. That's one of my big fears. Mm-hmm. The other one is Hal from 2000, Space Odyssey. You know, open the door, Hal. No.
Right.
I mean, at what point does the technology start to talk back and say, I don't want to?
Right. And that's the really scary thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have now this Ring technology. That's just an example of a certain kind of door mm-hmm. opening, locking.
That just got hacked.
Yeah. Just got hacked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what happens when you try to, you're sitting in your bedroom and say, lock the door, and they say, no, I'm going to let this guy in.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary, but I think what I want to do first is kind of start, everybody thinks about that kind of stuff, I think, when they think about AI, but I wanted to start by kind of getting into some of the low level stuff that's happening in small business, maybe things you don't even think of, where artificial intelligence can actually be really good. And the first thing I want to start with, Darren, is probably something that, you know, if I were to ask you, Pat, you know, how do you implement AI in your business? Well, most people probably start going to those big automation things, right? Like, well, what could I do to automate, to, you know, take tasks off my plate and, you know, free time up. But one of the big things that's like right in front of you is your phone. You know, like the natural language processing for both Android and iPhone has advanced to the point where I tell my phone to like, hey, set an appointment for me. I don't even want to say right. those, it'll fire up right now and start talking. But like I can say, set a reminder for me tomorrow at 2 o'clock to call this person, and also put something on my calendar for Friday to show somebody this and that and take a note. You know, and all of a sudden, all these things are done. And those are tasks that would have maybe taken me 5-10 minutes to do. And I've just spewed it out. And this phone has done this for me. It's amazing. And there's that kind of stuff is available to everybody to just help you become more efficient.
Yeah.
That's AI.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that that's artificial intelligence that's available to you as a business owner to use.
Well, it's after hanging out with you and you're always talking to your thing, I'll set a timer for 6.5 minutes. And 6.5 minutes later, it just goes off instead of having to go over and, you know, twisting the dial on a timer clock or what have you. And now I do that at home. Now I'm home. I'm like, hey, Alexa, set a timer for 4 minutes. And I know it'll...
Everybody's Alexa's just went off. Sorry, guys.
In 4 minutes, they're going to be like, doo-dee-doo-dee.
Right.
So but on a positive, how do you use it in your business, right, in a positive way?
Sure. So much of what I do deals with interacting with courts. So there is the courts system, and there is people don't understand this, but there is a statewide system now where you can file documents, retrieve documents, you know, schedule appointments, submit orders, all kinds of things with courts. And that's, in my lifetime, that's been just an extraordinary change in how we relate to courts.
Yeah, because governments move so quickly to adopt technology.
Right. I have seen it in my lifetime change from...
I think Coweta County just announced that they have email now.
And thank God for that, right? But so interfacing with courts through computers is one extremely beneficial way that lawyers use AI. Another is in research. And research has gone leaps and bounds from what it used to be. And it is natural language. You can put in a couple phrases and the computer will search literally a boundless area of knowledge and come up with cases that answer the question for you.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Instead of having to go to the library and pull all the books and find them and go to that specific spot.
Yeah, wow. It is extraordinary, the power, the searching power that AI has. And then it anticipates what you might need, you know, from the type of question that you ask.
Sounds like your client is getting sued for trespassing, and his name is probably John.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's Mr.
That's
Winnie.
Not creepy at all.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's some areas, other areas where AI interfaces, and it's probably more ubiquitous to your listeners, and that's primarily in the financial area. AI is now doing credit scoring and reporting and determining creditworthiness of individuals. Mm-hmm. And this is where some of the more interesting stuff happens, because one argument is if we put computers in charge of determining who's creditworthy or not, that's going to take out biases that had long been a problem. But the other thing is it's going to be totally without bias when you're trying, for example, to help somebody.
Sure.
Computer's not going to help anybody.
Yeah.
They're just going to apply the numbers. And if you don't make a 600, you're out of luck.
Right.
You know,
like Credit Karma is one of those people that do that. You know, your score should be here. Here's how to improve it.
Right.
And it's good that they help you in certain ways. But I mean, I used to be in the finance business, and my first job that I had, I was actually a credit analyst. So we would write paper for car loans. And the application would come over, and we were old school. Like, we had the little machine, pull the credit report, but on the application, we actually picked up the phone and were calling the references. Hey, does Jake work there? How long has he been working for you? You know, the basic stuff. Call the landlord. Does he pay his rent on time? And there were other companies who had advanced technology where they were getting some of this information. I think it was a Nouvelle system, and they were getting this information faster than we were, but we were basing everything on fact-finding missions. And now it's just like,
it's an algorithm.
It's there. Yeah.
Now it's an algorithm. And the Trump administration this week sent out a memorandum saying, we have to think about how these uses of AI affect individuals.
Sure.
Though they want to make sure that AI technology continues to develop without regulatory interference, they recognize that, you know, maybe some of these applications might actually have bad effects on certain people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really is at the heart of why I wanted to do this episode, because it takes education from all of us to know what's good technology and what's bad technology. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, if you're not a technical person and you don't understand all this stuff, don't feel stupid. You know, please just stick with us. Artificial intelligence is nothing more than a computer program. And at this time, computer programs can only do what they're programmed to do. They can't make decisions. They can't think. They're not aware. So somebody somewhere had to program that if it sounds like this and these words are strung together, then it's a sentence asking for these type of outcomes and here's how you're going to answer. I mean, all that stuff was developed by a person. It's a flow chart. It's a program. It can't do anything more than what it was designed to do.
Right.
I say that because these AI industry-specific opportunities come up everywhere. And I'm going to give you guys a really good example. And this is something that most people will be able to follow along with. So I'm in real estate, and there are platforms out there that are artificial intelligence that will do comparative market analysis for you, okay? So you've probably gone on Zillow and looked at your house and seen, oh, there's a Zestimate on my house. It's wrong. It's just an algorithm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
So if yours is actually right, you're like one of the one person in a thousand that actually they got it right. But they're always wrong because they don't know if you remodeled your kitchen. They don't know all the nuances of your house. It's just an algorithm that spits out a value based on some inputs and outputs. But there are some more advanced options that are available for real estate agents where you go in, you plug a little bit more information in about it, and it'll spit out a value. Okay. And I know real estate agents that use this, and that's all they do when they give somebody a potential value on their home. Well, guess what? There's no way that somebody has been able to write a computer program that knows all the nuances of what goes into a home value. You know, if it's a remodeled kitchen, well, what did they use, granite or did they use, you know, Formica? I mean, it doesn't know. So it doesn't have that human looking at it and making decisions going, you know what? I know based on this market that that's not going to bring as much value. And it's just impossible.
You don't want my Cupid fountain that I put in my circular driveway that doesn't bring value to my house.
Yeah, the new purple paint on the outside.
Yeah, right. But there's things that, if you were just to use common sense, you'd know that there's no way that somebody could write a computer program to take all that stuff into consideration and do what's necessary to give somebody value on their house. But I know people today that are using that type of software, and that's what they take to their clients to suggest a sales price on their house.
Jake, that
scares the shit out of me.
Right. That's exactly what I wanted to explore in this book that I wrote. And that is the ultimate question that I try to answer is, can you teach an artificial intelligence program morality? And the reason why that's so difficult is, just like you said just a moment ago, you have to program things into a computer, right, for it to be able to do something. In 2,000 years since Socrates, we haven't been able to agree on what morality is. Okay. How can we then program a computer to act morally? And let me show you a quick example. There was an opinion piece in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, and it said, what if we decide to use an artificial intelligence program to solve the biggest problem that we face on the planet, global warming? What if we give an artificial intelligence program that job, and the artificial intelligence program decides, aha, I've solved the problem.
Mm-hmm. Eliminate humans.
And then a supercomputer has control of the electrical grid throughout the world and could cut off electricity to every human on the planet. And within a week, we'd be eating each other.
Oh, boy. I hope you have your foil hat on. But that's exactly what
I got my foil underwear on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a great example. I mean, that's a really good example.
And if a computer program, an artificial intelligence program, does not know morality and just simply says, I'm going to solve this problem, I'm just going to kill everybody. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate problem.
It's Skynet. And you thought Terminator was just an action movie.
It's here today.
Here it is. Yeah, well, you have to write it. You have to. But now, I'm going to go back a little bit. You said that for the courts in your job, we asked you what is good and what you like so far. What's one thing that you're anticipating in the legal field as far as AI that's either on the horizon or somebody's thought about it, but it's not there yet?
Well, the big thing is that you probably have in my son's lifetime, he's going to be a lawyer soon. He's probably going to face a situation where he can submit a topic to an artificial intelligence program, and it will spit out the brief completely for you.
Wow. That's
what about
well.
Your so that's going to eliminate a lot of jobs for paralegals or
a lot of jobs for lawyers
and lawyers too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, right now we have,
I mean, is that a bad thing, Pat? I mean, honestly,
step back, boys.
I told you there would be lawyer jokes. So,
he did ask something about carrying a concealed weapons in a launching go today. Listen, I don't know what he meant by that.
If you give me a soft pitch, I'll swing right. Every time, buddy.
I'm just coming up with podcast jokes. Okay.
Well, we'll make it easy for you.
So anyway, the fact that these will be available and right now, I suppose, though I don't do this, but I suppose there are AI programs that will write contracts. Contracts would be probably the first, low-hanging fruit to fall. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because they're relatively rote and can be, systematized.
Well, I'll give you a good example. I'm not totally afraid of all this, right? I mean, there's some good, and I'm going to give you an example of this. The medical profession, I think, could benefit from artificial intelligence greatly. Think about cancer patients. There are some real nuanced, cancer doctors that really focus on one specific thing, mm-hmm. one specific type of cell cancer, and with these criteria, and they become experts in it. And you know somebody that has cancer, they go to their doctor and they have no idea that this doctor ever exists. And they go off their experience and their education and they make decisions on that. And they put you on a treatment path that they know about, that they've been taught. And they don't realize that this guy has figured out this new, it's not even experimental, but it's just a different treatment path. And it's working tremendously for his patients. And they just haven't read that literature, haven't been exposed to it. And, the proper, machine creation and software could take those type of things and deliver them in real time to doctors as they need them. I mean, there's so many applications like this where it's like it could be world changing. If done properly.
Absolutely. And medicine, I think as you've said, is one of the areas where we have shortages of doctors in certain areas, mm-hmm. and we can, project medical professionals into rural areas through AI and through other media. So, I mean, this is really an area that can benefit mankind tremendously.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I see tons of upside. But one of the things that really concerns me, and it concerns me for our listeners too, as they think about how to implement AI in their business, is, you know, where's the line? You know, when you do implement something, where do you draw the line? And like for me, you know, I'll go back to this example with doing market evaluations on homes. Like if I know that the machine is going to be making decisions that really a machine can't make, then I'm out. I'm out on that. Until somebody proves to me that that it can be done right with specificity all the time, I'm going to rely on myself.
Right.
You know, and just like the legal briefs, you know, the first botched legal brief, everybody's going to look at that and go, oh, well, it's too early for this. This ain't working.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a lot of examples of this that I see today. I see people implement and I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Biggest one that drives me nuts is chatbots, especially
not good
when it comes to prospecting.
Ugh.
You know how many people I've been bombarded with are like, oh, I will generate 1,000 leads a month for you online.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. Okay. And then you start talking to them and what they do is they implement this thing where it serves up ads and then they've got a bot that interacts with prospective clients for you until they're ready to take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no.
Right.
You don't think they're going to realize they're talking to a machine? I mean, honestly, if you guys
Facebook has that type of bot now.
Yeah.
Up under your messenger or whatever, and it'll start spitting out, oh, you really, how about going here? And you're like, that's not what I'm talking about. And then
right.
They'll make suggestions of.
Do you guys ever like
that's crazy.
Mistake and think, oh, I'm talking to a person. And later on, you're like, oh, you got me. No, you know it right away. You're like, come on, damn it.
No, there was one. There was one.
Was it on a porn site? It's Darren.
You know, okay. I mean, sorry. Yeah.
You know, listen, it's questionable behavior all the time.
You answer the phone and it's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I'm not interested. And it pauses just enough. And you're like, damn it. That was a recording.
I'll tell you though.
Hello, Darren. I called.
Oh, no. We're not going there.
No. Okay.
In rudimentary applications in a lot of small businesses, and I'm a small business. I'm a small law firm.
Sure.
So one of the things I think that turns people off the most is you call the business, and the first thing you get is one of those bots.
Oof.
And mm-hmm. and you know, what do you need? Who do you want to talk to? And you know, I'm the first person to hang up on that.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
And I have in my little office, I have a person that's worked with me for 15 years who answers the phone, and my clients constantly say how refreshing that is. And if I could give any one bit of advice to your listeners, it would be keep the personal touch.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you call your credit card company or, you know, your cable company or whatever, you know you're going to talk to a machine and nobody's going to be disappointed. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm starting to see this infiltrate medium and small business where there's a technology, you know, solution out there. You go sign up online and it, you know, handles triage or incoming calls for you. Oh my God, stop.
Yeah.
What if they came in here? Can you imagine if I had like one of the, you know, that Honda robot or whatever it is?
Hi, welcome to Launch and Go.
And it gives you the little tour, which way do you want to go? And then, you know, to the elevated point, if you taught it to how to close or defer and everything else by reading the pupils, the heat signature, the pulse, and it's time to close. You know, you program it to say, it's time to close the deal now based on these indicators that you've, but yeah, that'd be pointless.
Yeah. But I mean, even this,
of course,
the
they'd
stuff
probably
that's
get
available,
a better tour than I give people when they come in.
But there's technology available today, right now, for small business owners where they're implementing this sort of things and they're automating stuff. Like, I'm with you, Pat. I don't think you should automate those opportunities for touch. Like,
no.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
There's people do business with people still. I don't care how much technology is introduced. We're still human beings. I will go out of my way to do business with certain people because I've got a strong relationship with them. I trust them. I could give a shit about their technology.
Right.
It's them that I'm doing business with.
You bet.
So don't lose that. But I think the other thing too is kind of going back to this this other example we were talking about. You need to make sure that your technology is not making decisions. Like I'm totally not cool with decision-making and technology. And I've seen this in big business, and I'm starting to see it infiltrate small business. And I'll give you an example. I can't disclose a client, but I had a large client. They were a global client in travel. And they had a triage chatbot, you know, voice recognition system where somebody would call in. What would you like to do? I'd like to book some travel. Okay. And then start walking you through. And it would make a decision on where it thought you should go. You know, should you go to the person that handles international hotel bookings only, or should you go to the person that's a flight expert, or should you do X, Y, and Z? It was a complete and total freaking disaster. Now, this wasn't that long ago, you know, so there was right. really advanced technology
yeah.
behind it.
Yeah.
Millions and millions of dollars invested,
Lord.
They yanked back the entire thing.
They probably yeah. should have. How often did it tell you to go to Yemen?
Right. Yeah. Right. Ukraine. I've got a flight for you booked to the Ukraine.
But I wanted to go to Disney. Well, but I mean, seriously, like
right.
there was massive,
scary.
Massive effort behind this, a lot of money, and it was a complete and total failure.
Well, people are always going to be able to warm up to other people better than they're going to warm up to a computer program. We haven't gotten to the point where, as you mentioned, that you don't recognize that it's a computer. And that, by the way, is some computer guru long ago said, when that happens, that's when we know that computers have supplanted people.
Just grab your ankles. It's over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, could you imagine walking into Pat's office and you don't meet the front office person, and instead he's got a little tablet there, or even something that you speak to it, and it's like, okay, what do you need to talk about? And you say, well, I'm here for obviously a legal matter. What type of legal matter? And then you have to give like five descriptor words or five sentences, and it goes, oh, based on what you've just told me, go in 10 minutes, you know, you're going to go to this door and you're going to see this lawyer.
Can you
and
imagine like taking your Alexa speaker into court
right.
as your you lawyer?
Know? Right.
But, I mean,
right.
And it yeah. sends you over there, and all of a sudden you sit down and you're like,
counsel.
You right. know, you're talking to somebody and said, well, tell me about your divorce. And you're like, I'm just here to get a parking ticket
right.
cleared up based on the information you
okay,
told me.
Okay, well, when would you like to get divorced?
Right, yeah, right.
Would you like to get divorced after the parking ticket or before the parking ticket?
Yeah. I think you really need to be divorced.
Right. You're a shitty driver. Your wife wants to divorce you.
Right. Did you know that, by right. the way?
But seriously, going back to that point, like, I don't think we're in a place where technology should be making decisions. Like, I've not seen this implemented well.
Yeah.
Even though there's really advanced technology where it'll take inputs and they've got decision trees and all this stuff. Yeah. And I see people implement this in their small business when it comes to, you know, triaging leads or doing service calls, doing prioritization of service calls.
Right.
Like, if you've got software prioritizing your service calls for you, knock that shit off right now.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But well, back to the point that I had originally made about morality, until artificial intelligence can make moral decisions, you don't want to turn over decision making to an artificial intelligence program.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
No, you don't.
Well,
you don't.
Like, here's a great example. So there's software out there that will triage service. It'll actually make decisions based on, you know, the severity, the profitability of the company, all these things. And it'll like prioritize and schedule your service for you.
But it's still based on
only makes those decisions
input.
On what it knows.
Right.
Right. So if the mayor calls, it doesn't know it's the mayor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets bumped to the top and like, 'cause he knows everybody. The machine doesn't know that. It's like, oh, he only needs this. He's at the bottom of the list. And all of a sudden he's calling you up saying, what the hell is wrong with you?
There's a lot of people who would agree, probably.
And we're pulling your contract, by the way.
Yeah.
Oops.
No, but that's exactly the kind of thing where it's like the machine doesn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, when you lose the human touch, the human factor, you're going to lose business. We've talked about tools, software tools that can help you with your business, like a CRM and such to improve efficiency. But as Pat said, don't let it make decisions. It doesn't understand morality, and oh boy, hopefully it doesn't understand mortality either. But
and you know, and it doesn't understand people.
Right.
Right. No.
We
emotion.
Understand mm-hmm. people.
Right.
And that's why as a small business person, you're successful or not, because you understand people.
Well, think about how many people you know that aren't even situationally aware.
Right.
And now you're going to ask a machine to be situationally aware?
Right.
Well, I'm glad that we keep getting to meet more lawyers, because they're really not a bunch of assholes like you said, Jake, from the ones that we know.
Thanks, Darren.
Did I say assholes? I thought I meant...
Nice guys. Did you say nice guys? That's what you said before.
Listen, I love... You know how much lawyers have kept me out of trouble over the years? All the lawyer jokes I tell... They've kept me out of jail on more than one occasion. I can tell you that right now.
I can look at you and tell that.
Oh, yeah. It's not much of a stretch.
They're actually humans.
Yeah. Yes.
Some good people.
But it's interesting, though, just kind of going back to this point, right? I don't think that we're going to get to a point in our lifetimes where computers are smart enough, right? There's been a rapid advancement in technology. And I think that kind of lulls people into a false sense of where we're going. I'm going to give you guys a great example of this. Language processing. So my first example with language processing was Sprint PCS. And I remember calling Sprint PCS in, like, I think the year was 2000. It may have been 1999, but I think it was 2000. And they had just implemented this big voice system. So they had an IVR system when you called in where you'd have to hit one or hit two. Well, they I think her name was Claire. I think I got this right. I think it's Claire.
Claire was the name of the program?
Yes. That was the name of the voice.
Okay.
So they implemented Claire. We're going to have to fact check this and see if I'm actually remembering.
Why are all AI programs called women?
Because they're smarter than men.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So they want you to assume it's smarter than you.
Right.
Gotcha. Otherwise, can you imagine all the conversations that their programs would have with women that called in? If it was a man's voice, you dumbass, just put me through. If it was a woman, she'd know what I was talking about.
Exactly.
And I'd be done by now, but I got to talk to you.
But I remember my first experience with this. I called in and I'm like, oh, it says, you know, just talk to me and tell me what you want to do and I'll understand. And I'm like, what the hell?
Right. Like, wow, what's going on?
So I'm like, okay, I want to pay my bill. Ringtones. Please select your ringtone. No, I want to pay my bill. Technical support. I'm like, I don't want that. You know, it was so freaking bad. It was awful.
Yeah.
Now, there's times when when I navigate on my phone, I'll just say, hey, S word. I don't want to. It'll respond to me.
Say Alexa.
Yeah. And I'll say, navigate to blah, blah, blah address. And some of the roads are kind of like, you know, I'm like you, a little Southern draw. I pronounced it wrong. It's always freaking right. It shocks the hell out of me sometimes. It'll get the name of the road right.
Yeah.
And take me to the address. It's like.
Can't pronounce it correctly, but it'll get you there.
Yeah. Weird pronunciation.
And there are some that I'm like, oh, I know I pronounced that wrong when I said it, and it still gets it right. So we've gone in, you know, 20-year span, we've gone from completely freaking worthless technology to, I think that thing understands English better than my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
I think people see that rapid progression and they're like, oh, this thing's going to be thinking for me soon. Well, I don't
Not
know.
So. Not
you know what'll
so.
Happen I mean, though? Because it's listening in the house and it'll turn around one night and go, hey, Jake, it's 9 o'clock. Isn't it time to put the kids to bed? And you'd be like, okay. Or because you have that Fitbit thing on your wrist, it'll say, hey, Jake, you know, do you think that might be your last drink for the night?
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm worried about.
Hey, Jake, that's three bourbons in a row.
Right. Yeah.
But how do you know?
Right. And I'm telling your wife.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We told her before you.
Then there's other nights. It's like, I heard that conversation, that argument you had with Kelly earlier. Maybe you need a fourth.
Have another.
I could see my wife walking in the room. Hey, Siri told me you just had another Oreo. Like, what in the fuck, man?
You're right. I'm married to two women.
This is ridiculous. I only wanted one wife. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm getting bitched out from the computer and you now? This
really?
Is crap.
Yeah.
That'd be scary. Oh, boy. So now AI legal standpoint. That's got to be a gray area as far as, a court case or somebody goes, I've got an issue, and they're blaming it on AI instead of taking responsibility.
Yeah, nobody's even gone there yet.
Oh,
and
it's common.
And it's got to be. So the perfect application is driverless vehicles. We got to figure that out. That's where AI and liability intersect.
That's what I wanted to. Yeah, that's what I want to know.
And I don't know the answer. I mean, I'm not. I have no clue. And you know, until such time as that's figured out on a 50-state basis, we are not going to have self-driving vehicles. That's what's holding Tesla back.
Well, let me give you a great example of this. You know, so I don't mean to keep going back to our business, but in real estate, if you're not aware, real estate is very heavily regulated in terms of what you can, like we've got Fair Housing Act laws that, you know, don't allow us to discriminate or steer and all that kind of stuff. And you think about people that are using these programs to triage, you know, leads. How long until somebody says, hey, your triage program discriminated against me looking at a home in a neighborhood that I wanted to, and they did it based on race. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. That was my program. That wasn't me. You paid for it.
Right. And that's what the,
you know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I think that we haven't seen yet, but, I think it's coming.
Oh, it's coming. And that's what the Trump administration memorandum that I mentioned earlier was warning agencies in federal government that they need to look at. And that is that we want AI to develop, but we want it to develop within certain bounds that recognize, you know, individual freedom from discrimination, and you know the boundaries of agency power. They don't want to empower these programs to do more than they should.
Do you think some of that regulation is it? And you said all 50 states. Do you think some of that regulation will come from the states first and work its way up to federal? Or do you think it's going to come from the federal courts and work its way down and kind of blanket everybody?
It's got to go up, It's got to go up. Okay. I'll give you a geeky lawyer, you know, quote, and that is that there was a famous Supreme Court justice that described the states as the incubators of the nation, that new things get developed in various states. And, you know, I mean, certain states are bellwethers. You know, California is always doing something weird, right?
Well, they're the stinkubator.
Yeah, right. And, you know, but, you know, different states develop different things more quickly. You know, Gatorade was developed in Florida, right? But it's going to happen at the state level and go up because really, quite frankly, the federal government doesn't have the authority under the Constitution to dictate to states how to do traffic laws, for example.
Right.
Well, yeah. I think your point is a really good one, too. I think we're also talking about issues that are so complicated that you can't, you know, you can't form a commission to go figure it out. It's going to be some propeller head in a lab somewhere that goes, hey, I figured something out. And then all of a sudden, you know, they talk to their local county commissioner and, you know, all of a sudden it just kind of works its way up in a groundswell and you've got something that gets adopted.
It's going to work like that. That's what's going to happen. But we've got to figure out what happens when my self-driving Tesla runs over your dog.
Yeah. Or that fleet that they have, you know. The whole fleet that they're running for trucking.
Yeah.
That's going to be a hell of a thing.
I haven't seen any of those yet, but I hear they're out there that is a self-driving trucks.
Nevada, isn't it? Where they're test driving
them? That's not scary at all, is it?
It's like Homer Simpson. Remember in the episode when he hijacked the 18-wheeler and he pushed the button and it's self-driving?
Yep.
And they're like, dude, don't blow it for us.
They're onto us.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm just wondering a little side question. You don't have to give your opinion of this, but as the cases work their way up and they finally get to the Supreme Court, do you think the people who are on the bench now are qualified enough to deal with an AI case?
Since some of the people that are on the bench right now might be listening to this podcast. I would say absolutely they're qualified.
I hope they are. That'd be awesome. I would love it. I'd be like, wow, we got a Supreme Court justice listening to the
I will say this. You know, my experience with judges in this at the state level and the federal level, they're smarter than we are.
Mm-hmm. They are.
They really are. And so I wouldn't have a problem with submitting, you know, these issues to them, and our system is developed to work these problems out. And I have a lot of faith in our system.
Yeah, me too.
That's your second beard, Jake.
He is a good lawyer.
He starts talking about confidence in Washington, and mm-hmm. I have to pour another beer.
I didn't say Washington.
I know. I'm just teasing. No, I think you're right. I mean, there's a lot of politics in the courts, but I think that these issues that we're talking about, I think the good thing about these issues is they transcend political lines. AI scares the shit out of everybody.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I don't care if you're a Democrat, how far left you are, right. or if you're a right-wing Republican, like, or you're somewhere in the middle. This stuff scares you.
Right. And it should.
Yeah,
and it should. We need to think about it carefully. That's just the point of my book.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So I want to talk a little bit about where you think the future of AI is going. You know, because we talk about what's available today, but you know, where is this going? Do you think we're ever going to get to a point where machines are aware? And they're figuring things out that somebody hasn't programmed into them?
Yes. I think that's going to come. I really do. And I'm glad I
poured that second beer.
You know, it's a combination of hardware and software, as you mentioned.
Sure.
So AI is really software plus the computing ability of these supercomputers
that's
to process.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. And so we've got to have the computer power, the computing ability, and this thing right here, our little brain mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that we're assaulting with these beers here this evening.
No, we're beer, gracing singular. Them with gracing. One beer.
One continuous.
Yes. Yes.
These brains that we have are so much more powerful than any supercomputer that exists right now.
Yes.
But at some point, they're going to be able to develop a computer that will be able to calculate as much and as fast and as with as great sophistication as our brains.
Well, I think the thing that the big breakthrough is going to be when somebody figures out how to develop software that can observe things that weren't programmed in and then say, I notice a pattern. I can do something with that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you've got Hal telling you he's not going to open the door.
Well, think about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. You don't get to go out today, Jake.
No.
Right.
I know what you do.
Yep. Right.
You're going to the brewery to get more beer and you're getting fat.
Right.
So no, you don't need that. You're not going outside.
Well, yeah,
what I want to.
Think about having a pacemaker all of a sudden. And it goes, you know, I think you've had enough heartbeats for life.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to turn you off, by the way.
You're now officially a burden on society.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Done. The computer makes that decision. But again, you have to write the program to make it think. And nobody has written an algorithm that is a progressive algorithm that allows that computer to make those decisions yet.
But what's coming, it's getting there. Yeah, what's coming is the computer that can teach the computer how to do it. That's really scary.
I think now you get into
Skynet
bioengineering as well, because I think you have to somehow with the chips and everything else from a hardware standpoint they're kind of testing with living matter, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Don't quote me on that, but I mean, but once they have that, now you have something that has a little living and feeling and life, and now
you got Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think one of the things you said, Pat's a really good point that probably not a lot of people think about enough when it comes to AI and kind of speculating where this is going. Computing power has been one of the biggest breakthroughs, because the software ability, the ability to think through, like, how do you develop a software program that can go through all these things? That thinking has probably been around for a long time. But, you know, you go back to my example of talking to Claire from Sprint back in 1999. Okay, I want everybody, as you're listening, think about the computer you had in 1999. Now, that phone in your pocket is probably 100 times more powerful than that computer you had on your desk in 1999. That goes for everything. That goes for servers. Sure. That's all computing power has exponentially grown since then. So, you know, like, you think about like graphic designers or video producers. Like, it used to be you work on something and then you let it start processing and you walk away from the computer for 10 hours while it calculates.
Right.
Now, if it's not instant, you're like, what the hell is wrong with this piece of junk? I need to turn it and get a new one.
Yeah.
You turn my computer on and go make a pot of coffee and come back and it was still booting up. But
so if we think about that and we think about the, you know, a lot of people think about the software capabilities, but the hardware advancements are still like really cranking along.
Yeah.
I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about
the future. You listen to other podcasts? Oh my God.
After I listen to Beer in Business, I've got to do something with the rest of my week. So, but they were talking about, you know, where's technology? What did we used to see? And they were talking about like Disney World, the, you know, future land and stuff like that, or the Jetson, and what kind of things were spot on. And the one thing they missed was Dick Tracy.
Dick Tracy.
And if you go back, you know Dick Tracy.
Oh yeah.
And they had the iWatch. They had the Apple Watch.
They did.
They did. Absolutely. And it came up in video and they would talk on video on Dick Tracy. And I'm like, that's here, folks.
Well, I tell you, the thing they missed was in Hollywood was Get Smart, because he used his shoe as a phone. Right.
I just skipped over that part.
I want the ice shoe.
The ice shoe, right.
Maxwell Smart here.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Well, gosh, that is really interesting, because if we get to a point where computers are aware, they're thinking.
Talking to us through their shoes?
Yeah, well, through our shoes. Our shoes.
What the heck?
That's scary, but that's when you get to the point where I think computers are ready to make decisions.
Yeah.
They may not have the morality thing figured out, but you know what? I don't think humans do either.
No, humans don't have the morality thing figured out, and that's my point.
Yeah.
You know, how can we teach computers if we don't know?
Yeah. But until we get to that point, that's where I kind of draw the line. You know, when I'm talking to small business people and I think about, you know, AI decisions for their business, if it's making decisions on your behalf, probably not okay with that.
Doing your employee reviews.
Yeah. Well, and there's hiring right now is a big thing.
Oh, man, that's a really bad one.
We are not even going to go down that tunnel right now.
Okay, sorry.
No.
It's a really good example, because I was actually, I swear to you guys on my freaking, you know, future grave, which hopefully is a while off, I was actually talking to somebody about this very same topic earlier today, because it came up that we were, you know, she was asking me about the podcast and she's like, you know, what are you talking about, AI? And she said, oh my God, this is really bad for hiring. Yeah, and we actually started talking about it.
Awful.
And you know how many people like can't get an interview because the freaking algorithms don't like their resume.
Right. Exactly.
It's set up for certain keywords or certain this, or it's calculating other things. And it's like, you're getting bumped. And I can tell you, and Jake's the same way. Any time that I was in a management position or in a hiring position, I read through every... Even if, you know, you're skimming through hundreds and thousands of resumes.
Right.
But I'm looking for certain things. It might not match the algorithm of the system.
Oh, yeah.
But I know what I'm looking for in a person. Yeah. And it could be something obscure, but it's there. And I took the time to do it.
No, you
and
know what?
It pisses me off more than anything when people...
I'm gonna articulate this point a little bit better. And I think this is where it's... Because
a little bit better than Aaron. Yeah, what can you say?
Okay. No, but... and you'll agree with me as soon as I say this. And this is why AI is not working yet. When you were scanning those resumes, what would happen is you'd see something that you didn't know you were looking for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
A computer can't do that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times I thought I knew what I wanted, you know, and I'm scanning those resumes. And then I see that one resume and I'm like, oh my God, I never thought about that. But that background would be really good for this job.
Yeah.
But a computer is only going to do what you... I didn't know to tell the computer right, that. But right. because I put my eyeballs on it, I realized I need to talk to that person. Then I hire them.
Well, hence one of your best managers that used to get lost all the time. Right?
Lois.
Lois. I'm sure that Lois's resume looked like total... in a sense. I mean, there were good words, but she's a fabulous manager. You're great. I mean, she was one of your best.
Yeah, she was. And you know what? You're right. I think
we need to have her on the show
again. Yeah. She was one of our first interviews. Oh, she's hilarious.
Good.
No, but you're right. I think if you would have compared at the time her resume to others, people would have said, why would you hire her? Just based on the resume, but they didn't know the person.
Right.
And they didn't know that the recommendations that I got. And this is the other thing that I hear from companies. You can like know an executive and talk to recruiters and like, you've got the inside track. Like, you guys need to talk to this person. And they still won't get an interview. Because the damn machine won't flag them right. to get through. And it's like, oh, right. well, sorry, you didn't make it past the first round.
Yeah.
You know, Hal said no.
You know, it's really...
I'm sorry. Yeah. Your resume sucks.
And you,
know
and you have, and there's no way you can go back and say, even we were talking about that. I'm like, I'm getting to get a little bit older. And if you calculate it, people go, well,
that white hair,
you know, another yeah. soft pitch. Yeah. I mean, well, you know,
if yeah. you do that, and if the computer is set up to go, based on this work experience, this person, based on the parameters you have, they're probably out of the age range that you're.
Yeah.
Technically looking for this job, but you have no way to prove that.
Yeah.
So there's
well,
no-
the other side of it is, and we know this from SEO, and that is that you can game the system by using those special words that we right. know that the algorithm's looking for.
Yeah,
so
sure.
you can end up getting the wrong person because they knew the buzzwords to put in the resume. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and the other yeah. thing too is I don't think many people really understand it, but if you're one of those people that happens to have the resume that's getting picked up, well, you know what? They're all using the same freaking algorithm. Like, they're all using yeah. There's a couple of big platforms that do this, and that's kind of the only thing. So if you're getting picked up by one, your phone's probably ringing off the hook.
Right.
Yeah. And those guys that aren't getting calls, well, nobody's calling them because they're all using the same damn freaking
right.
thing.
Yeah. No, there's no different way of looking at things.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems with AI. AI just makes us all the same.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, there's just so much nuance in business and in life, you know? And it's like, you know, you think about these programs that, you know, try to filter your leads for you and serve them up at the time when they're ready to buy or they're, you know, they're at that right stage. And you know what? You might find that if you were doing that yourself, you come across somebody and you're like, you know what? I know this person's not a customer right now, but I think I could form a really good relationship and there could be other benefits and they could maybe refer other people to
sure.
me. And then, like you figure things out that a machine today right. just isn't going to be able to do.
What if Pat had any potential client that walked in and he had to go through that little, you know, tablet thing that we were talking about?
Talk to
and
Alexa. It's like,
based on the information you've said, Pat has referred you to somebody down the street.
Right. You know? Pat has unless, requested you to leave right. immediately.
Unless you know? You're willing to pay a $10,000 retainer, then Pat will take it.
Yeah, Pat will talk to you now. Please enter the first door.
Yes. Oh, that's hilarious. Well,
oh, boy.
Well, Pat, this has been really interesting. I mean, I think that, you know, we've opened some people's eyes probably to what AI is and how to think about it in their business. You know, in closing, first of all, I want to make sure that people understand how to get a hold of you. So you're a litigation attorney, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So what kind of stuff do you litigate?
Well, I do a lot of employment law. And, you know, the employment law is kind of in the news right now because of the change of the Fair Labor Standards Act and some of those things. So people
get old FESLA.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, give me a call if you got a problem with Fair Labor Standards Act.
So if somebody is looking for legal help
yeah.
with anything related to, you know, employees, how could they get a hold of you?
So, I have a website.
What is it?
It's www.mckeelaw.com.
So that's mckeelaw.com.
Okay. .com. And of course, you can call my office and you will get a real live person.
Oh, look at that, man. No machines. That's awesome.
770-683-8900.
So you're in Noonan, Georgia.
I am.
Would you help a client out of state?
I practice only in Georgia. Okay. I'm not licensed to practice in other states.
So lucky for you, a very, very big chunk of our audience is in Georgia. So
good.
If you are in Georgia and you're looking for legal services around employees, make sure you look up Pat.
We always wrap up with this, but I do want to touch on this because Pat's growing up history was pretty interesting. And can you give us like a 30 second to 1 minute quick synopsis?
Sure.
Of how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking.
It's impressive.
That. Well, you're very kind. Thanks for asking. The reason why I got into writing was people told me I should write my story. I grew up in South Florida. My parents died when I was young, and I was shipped off to an orphanage in South Carolina. I lived in the orphanage until I was graduated from high school. I graduated in high school as valedictorian of my class. I put myself through college and law school, and here I am.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you.
That's really cool.
And as a matter of fact, one of the things I'm doing with my book is I'm giving 10% of the profits back to the orphanage.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really awesome.
We were going to order one copy. Now we're going to get two.
I'm going to get a lot. So the book is
Ariel's Island. And it's going to be published March 31st. And it's published by a publisher, Southern Fried Karma is the name of the publisher.
Oh, that's awesome.
Out of Noonan.
Are you having a book release party?
Yes, I am.
And are we invited?
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Hell woo-hoo. Yeah. We're going to have it at the Nixon Center.
Oh, I love that place.
Yeah.
We do all of our Board of Realtor meetings there.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good. So
absolutely.
April 1st, I'll send you guys an invitation.
Oh, cool. We're VIPs, by the way.
You'll have VIP treatment, too.
Is Alden invited?
Alden is required to come.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
Yeah. And y'all will be invited, and all of your listeners are invited.
Holy cow. Well, that's cool.
Everybody come.
You know what? I bet we can get some beer and business listeners out there. So.
Good.
That's awesome. Wonderful. So we will remind you as we get closer to the book's release. We'll put some stuff out there in social. We'll talk about it on the podcast. I'm super excited
to read
this book, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think you'll enjoy it.
My favorite books and movies, admittedly, are legal thrillers.
Good.
I love them.
Good. You'll like this one.
Even though I don't like lawyers. Just kidding.
Hard to believe. Hard to believe. I'm so likable.
I love lawyers. I just don't like the bad ones. And there are some bad ones.
Yeah, there's bad people in every business.
But the good lawyers have kept me out of trouble so many times, so I can't help but love them.
There you go.
And we really appreciate you coming in to talk about this topic. This is one that, I don't think a lot of people really truly understand, and it's moving rapidly. And, there's just a lot to it. And I hope that today we've kind of opened your eyes to what it is and what it is not, and how you should be thinking about it in your life and your business. And it's just, keep your eyes on this topic because it's going to continue to evolve just because technology is.
And Pat,
great beer, by the way.
Oh, say awesome. That again for
great,
Glenn.
Great beer. Excellent. The Rebel IPA. Excellent.
Yes, it's really good. It's Jailhouse Brewing, folks, in Hampton, Georgia. You should go out to the brewery. In fact, Thursday the 30th of this month, they have a comedy show out there. They're going to have a bunch of comedians out there.
Cool.
Going to be a lot of fun. It's $6 to get in. Starts at 7:30. So if you're looking for something to do on a Thursday night, January 30th, you should go out. Or if you just want to go to the brewery, go out there, grab a case of beer. I think you can take home a case of beer a day. That's the law in Georgia. You should do that.
Pick up some time served and drop it off here at Launch and Go, please.
Or my beer fridge at home.
Yeah,
that'd be fine too. But they do. I'm telling you, Pat, I know this is the first one you've tried. All their beers are phenomenal.
Excellent.
They're so consistent. They're the fourth craft brewery in Georgia.
Outstanding. This is very impressive.
It really was a jailhouse.
Yeah.
Yes. That's where they got the name.
So
it was a jailhouse. And we want to remind you guys, we're getting ready to do a couple of, Pat, on this show, we do a segment called Questionable Answers. I don't know if you've listened to it yet.
Yep.
But we do questions from our audience, and we'd love to hear from you. So it's tax season. So we want your tax questions. So send them to podcast@beer.business. And we'd love to answer those. And if it's above our heads, which it probably is, we're actually going to have an accountant on the show soon.
That we are.
Good. That'll be great. I'm going to listen into that for sure.
Because you don't want to pay more in taxes than you have to, do you?
No.
We're getting taxed everywhere. Local taxes, you know, taxes on your house, your vehicles, your federal income tax. I mean, we're taxed to death.
And so, on internet sales too, by the way.
I know. Mm-hmm. So we're all getting taxed like crazy. So you don't want to pay any more than you have to. So you definitely want to tune in and send us your questions. Because if you have something specific, we'd love to research that for you. Or just send us any general small business questions and we'd be happy to answer those on air. And we would actually follow up with you directly and let you know when we're going to answer your question on air.
We will.
And well, if you don't want us to tell
Launch and Go, and you could write it on a piece of paper and hand it to me.
Or you can call Darren because lots of people call Darren. But honestly, if you
what
don't.
What are they calling?
A lot of things.
You just got to keep listening to previous episodes. You'll see who calls me.
Oh, yeah.
Or hear who calls me.
He's been called by several famous people. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want us to read your name on air, we won't. No. We'll keep you confidential if we need to. And if you know anybody that would be good on the show or you would like to be on the show, Darren, they could go to our website.
Just click that button. Be on the show.
Super
easy. It's that
easy.
Simple. 60 seconds. It's all it takes.
This has been great, guys. Thank you for inviting
me. We really appreciate you coming in. I hope you've enjoyed the studio and the beer Absolutely. And the fellowship.
You bet.
And, you know, would you recommend that, you know, if somebody was interested in coming in here and talking to us to do so?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you think of the studio?
Oh, man. This is a great place. I want to, you know, come back here. I'm going to just hang out here and watch you guys
There's more technology over here than the space shuttle. I mean, I'm not bragging, but I am.
Yeah, buttons and knobs.
Well, I was expecting it to take off, by the way.
I've got blinking lights over here.
Oh, shit.
It's amazing.
You know, actually, you could come in here and record your own podcast.
Hey, I'm thinking about doing that. I don't know what I'm going to record yet, but I think I'm going to do it.
You need the jumpstart package.
Okay. Yep. What's the jumpstart package? Tell me.
We get approached by people all the time that say, man, I love the Beer and Business podcast. I want to start a podcast, but they don't know where to start. So we've actually started a consulting practice around podcasts where we help people get their plan straight before they launch.
How cool.
It's really cool. And we've got the studio, all the technology you need. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, just go to beer.business, reach out to us, or go to launchandgoworkspace.com. Mm-hmm. You know, all you got to do is just let us know, hey, I want to start a podcast. We'll walk you through the process. Well, it's really simple.
Outstanding.
Two new people coming in tomorrow to use the studio.
Yeah.
One of them is plugging in, doing their own thing. So they're paying the one price. We have another one that Jake is helping out and doing some more work for.
They need my technical expertise.
Yeah,
because,
I can tell.
I mean,
yeah.
this
Look
brain,
at you. Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Need some extra help. So anyway.
I've been impressed.
Besides that, while you're coming in to Launch and Go, we do have a couple events going on.
What you got going on?
In the next week. So on the 16th, well, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for an hour. It's the
you
one.
You do know how to use a calendar, right?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Sure.
I also, where I was saving it, I have.
You have an incoming call.
Incoming call. So I can't cheat that way.
But tell Siri to make it go away.
I turn her off. I don't use Siri.
Oh, I turn mine on.
I don't want Siri.
Oh man. It's time to go.
Wow, it's getting deep in here, isn't it?
The thing is, it's not his wife that gets jealous. It's the dove that gets jealous of Siri.
That's true. I got a weird bird at home. It's
a weird bird.
Yes, I have a dove, and it loves me. It's really a bad thing.
Anyway, so tomorrow night, the 100 Who Cares, 7 to 8, it is about nonprofits and selecting a nonprofit. And
this is really cool,
donation.
Pat. These nonprofits fantastic. Come in and they pitch.
Cool.
And they talk about, they have 5 minutes to talk. And everybody that comes, they'll select one at the end of the night and everybody writes a $100 check.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's so neat.
100% goes to that nonprofit right there and then.
Yeah, there's nothing held back. It's just
that
all for the nonprofit.
So nice.
And we do
it's really cool.
It's done 4 times a year.
Man.
So it's phenomenal.
You guys are good.
Yep.
So we love the community.
Well, it's not me. It's someone else is using the space for it.
But it's you too. I mean, you're giving the space to them. So Darren's just a part of this.
And I write that $100 check every quarter.
Absolutely.
So it's awesome. And then Tuesday the 21st is Meeting of the Minds. It's a great thing to find out about what is your why for 2020. You can go to the website and find out more about that. Then a little teaser, the following Tuesday on the 28th is Startup Fayette. If you have a business or thinking about starting one and you want some guidance, This is a free event in the evening. It starts at 5:30. This time we're going to talk about PR, public relations, kind of at a 10,000 foot view. And each month after that, we'll drill down. Again, that's on the website, and that's it for the month.
Awesome. And we want to remind you, you know, consume our podcast, download it, send it to friends. You can feel really good about downloading our content because we are protected. You know, all this technology stuff, you know, can be scary, but we don't stay up at night, Pat, worrying about this stuff because we're secured by Overwatch technology.
Excellent.
Did you know the Chi-Coms are probably trying to hack into beer and business right now because it's growing so fast? They probably see this trending and they're like, yeah, you know, oh, hey, we need to figure out what's going on with beer and business. And but they can't get in.
Good.
Yeah, because we got anti-virus, anti-malware, anti-everything software.
Good.
And then we got these really smart engineer people like looking at all the logs and saying, oh, you know what? There's an anomaly. We need to look into this because the program has not yet been programmed to understand that particular
zero-day programs.
Excellent.
So we've got technology and people
good
that are watching out for us. So if you've got computers in your business, you need Overwatch technology. If you don't have computers in your business, you probably don't have a business.
You don't need Overwatch if you don't have computers.
Put your abacus down and at least pick up that Texas Instrument.
So go to overwatchtechnology.com. It's www.overwatch.technology, not technologies, and schedule your free assessment today. They'll actually put software on your computer that finds out what's there. Is there malware? Is there viruses? They'll figure all that stuff out, and they'll give you a readout, and then they'll talk to you about a security plan going forward. It's free, so it's obviously affordable, and then you can figure out what you need to do to get yourself secured going forward. So download our stuff and give us a review. I mean, give us a 5-star review. We've earned it.
We do.
I mean, even with Darren, we'd have 6 stars if it wasn't for Darren, but give us 5.
You want me to rewrite that program to have 6 stars for our podcast? Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, you have some words.
Can I give myself 6 stars?
I think if there was a 6-star podcast, it'd be us.
Yeah.
There's not even a 6-star general. Have you realized that? That the podcast reviews
are
5 stars and it matches the maximum stars that a general can get. Think about that tonight.
Wow, about man.
2 a.m.
Just drop something on
it. Yeah, really. I'm going home.
Yes. I know that the Sage of Suds has some words of wisdom, and I didn't mean to like ruin it with that thought.
No, I do want to share one thing before we leave, and it's probably going to sound a little counter to everything we've talked about today, but what I want to share with our listeners is don't be afraid of technology. I know we've just made a lot of jokes about it, but technology is really incredible and it has improved our lives. If you're an adult, you have lived through an amazing change in the world. And, you know, if you look at the average age of the gentleman in the studio right now, we did not have computers in our homes growing up. And think about how much the world has changed. It's made the world better in many ways. And yes, it does have its, you know, drawbacks. But if you were to step back and think about technology in general, I think you'd say that it has had a net positive impact on life, on quality of life, on, you know, even social media. We you know, do a lot of things. We talk about social media all the time. But I can communicate with people that I love all over the world. It the snap of a finger. And it used to be something that I couldn't do.
Right.
Technology is great. And all this AI stuff, it may sound scary and there are elements of it that are scary. But if we as humans are smart about how we implement it, it will make the world a better place.
I think so. I really agree with that.
So don't be afraid. Be smart.
Yeah.
Be smart about how you implement. Be smart about when you implement, what you delegate off to technology and what you don't. But don't be afraid of it because it really is amazing. You know, and if you think about the phone that you carry in your hand compared to the phone you carried in your hand 10 years ago, is that device better? Does it make your life easier? Are your photos better? Your videos? Are you capturing better memories than you were 10 years ago? All that's very positive. So don't be afraid.
Good words.
Watch it with a stink eye.
And don't forget the human factor.
And never forget how important it is to the human touch.
Right.
There's nothing that will ever, ever replace human touch.
You bet.
If you can figure out how to augment a hug, you have done something that nobody ever thought possible, and it can be done. So don't be afraid of technology. Thanks, Pat, for coming in. This has been an awesome conversation. Thanks. A lot of fun. Hopefully Darren's not too inebriated for you. Don't worry, we'll get him in a taxi.
Yeah, I was going to say, he can find his way home.
Folks, I hope you guys have really enjoyed this episode. We want you to continue to tune in. We're going to have, this is our first interview of the year, Pat. So you have the distinguishment of being our first interview of 2020.
Put that on my resume.
I would. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. We are going to have a year chocked full of great content. So we hope you guys continue to tune in and grow with us. Tell your friends about us, and we'll see you next week.